Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jurgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jurgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. You will also get bonus content every month, including the audio versions of my regular columns for ESPN. So do please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter and join the club. And get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. Hello there. This is the version of The Big Interview where we feature the icons that have dominated the last 6 years of the wonderful interviews our guests have given us on this podcast series. I hope that one of the things that's made this successful has been the fact that I'm absolutely passionately head over heels in love with football, and therefore the people who bring us special memories, special games, special character in football, they're the ones that light things up for me. Zidane is our focus today. Zidane, not Luca, nor any of the other many Zidanes that are splattered around world football. I say that because at the time when I first encountered his name, largely via world soccer, because back in 1995, there was no internet, you didn't cover football the same way as we do now, and it was thanks to world football where I scanned every result around Europe just for oddities, for patterns, who scores a lot. I remember seeing Roy Mackay, a Scottish name but with a double A in it, and thinking, well, I'm going to follow him, and ending up in the Riazor Stadium in the second leg of Milan against Deportivo, having been in San Siro for the 4-1 game Milan, and watching Mackay and his team destroy the European champions 4-0. Sometimes when you follow a name, when you flip a coin, it works, or it used to. So naturally, with that swish of Zorro in the double Z alliteration, Zinedine Zidane at Bordeaux, I'd never heard of him at Cannes, caught my attention, particularly during their Intertoto Cup run, even before they went to the final of the UEFA Cup. And it was for his name, but for the number of times you would see him being either, you know, the main protagonist in a game or getting sent off, something that didn't diminish as he went from Bordeaux to Juventus after that, you know, European final against Juve. And I was obsessed already with Juventus because of the visits I did there to study the work of Gianpietro Ventroni and Marcello Lippi. And therefore Zidane at Juve, the mystery of why they kept losing Champions League finals, the strange way over a paper napkin that he moved from Juventus to Madrid, sealed at a gala in Monaco. All these things, over and above the fact that he was an elegant, majestic footballer throughout his career, And I was lucky enough to be at many, many live games watching him. These things have always fascinated me about Zidane, and I enjoy him as a manager. Whether he's the world's greatest football coach or not seems to me to be redundant, because he's patently an exceptional manager, man inspirer, player whisperer. And what he's done at Real Madrid, irrespective again of whether he's in a sticky moment right now, some of which forces are definitely out with his control. He's been a real pleasure to watch managing. I mean, a real pleasure to watch managing. I thought he should reject Florentino Perez's entreaties to become manager, because I thought that Zidane would probably succeed and therefore give continuity to a way of running a club, Florentino's way, that I didn't think was good enough. But in the end, he was appointed, he succeeded, and Florentino changed his ways, investing in youth, investing in players that he wanted to come through the academy. And frankly, I've enjoyed seeing the emergence of, let's call it, Valverde and Rodrigo and Vinicius, who spent precious little time in the academy but were signed very, very young indeed. You're also going to hear from former Bayern Munich and Manchester United midfielder Owen Hargreaves talking about what struck him most when he played against his hero, Zidane, for the first time. Jimmy Bullard admired Zidane so much that he even wore his boots and shorts like Zizou in the hope that some of the genius would rub off on him. In fact, on one occasion, the tightness of his shorts was such that it impeded him from scoring an easy goal for Wigan, a dilemma that Zidane, to my knowledge, never faced. Afterwards, you'll hear Steve McManaman, who speaks about how Zizou endured a frustrating start in the Bernabeu. He was tried out in different positions, but couldn't quite slot in initially. Then came that final, the 2002 Champions League win over Bayer Leverkusen in Glasgow. Nobody ever doubted the great man at Real Madrid after that. And finally, we hear from former Real Madrid president Ramon Calderon, who details the shambolic lead-up to the managerial appointment, but says how promoting Zinedine Zidane from the position of reserve team coach to the biggest role in club football management was a risk that paid off. Do enjoy.
Playing against Zidane, I always loved Zidane, and then playing against him at Real Madrid with Bayern and stuff. I love playing against him. And you'd never tell your heroes that they're your heroes, you know. So you, in the end, you've got to compete against them. But what struck me about it, he was so quiet when you went around him. You could just hear him breathe. That was it. You know, he didn't really talk much, but he was just such a genius. So there's different levels of genius. Scholesy and Zidane were kind of mentally, you know, ahead. And Cristiano, you see those guys are like the old Ronaldo. You know, when you're that quick and that powerful and that explosive, it's virtually impossible to stop. Whereas those guys were sharp with their brain.
People, I've been lucky enough just to be near Zidane, maybe in press zones or tunnels or whatever. People forget, and I'm certain you weren't in any way intimidated, but people forget because of his elegance and what he did with the ball. And our amateur eye follows the ball, the trajectory of a shot or a pass. But he was a serious physical unit.
He was huge, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, he was the only guy who ever did it to me. Because I was quite quick, and obviously I was a lot shorter than him. I'm guessing Zidane's probably 6'1", 6'2", maybe. Then I was surprised how tall he was. And I remember it would make it look like the ball was free. So he'd just leave it, say there's a couple of yards distance from us. Like it was free. And obviously I'm a bit thick. I think, oh, I'm going to get it off Zidane. And I would dive in to take it. And he would just stick up this massive leg, kind of his foot just off the air and his quad tense. And as you went into it, you just straight into his quad. You think, and it was like a brick wall. What happened there? And he would just spin the other way. And I remember thinking, what happened here? Well, he's literally lured me in like a bull rider or whatever. And then he just spun the other way. I remember actually clapping in my mind for Zidane and going,
I salute
lad.
You for that.
I like
that's
that.
A gentleman in football to go. Like, I just didn't like what happened to me, but chapeau.
You just humbled me. I like that.
Oh, that's absolutely beautiful. Mentally, that if you watched Zidane, and even if you changed your gear a little bit to be like Zidane, it actually benefited you. Now, I love that. One, because every aspiring kid, boy or girl, who doesn't make it, kind of thinks like that anyway.
But the power of the mind, I think, probably means that you were right when you did your boots, maybe not when you did the shorts too tight, but when you did your boots, let's say, Dan, and you thought it was helping. I reckon it probably was. It's a confidence sport.
Yeah. That comes again from detail, right? I used to look at Zidane. I used to adore the man so much. As you said, I used to wear my boots like him. And that's Predators, right? The way he used to flap his tongue over. It's a little detail. He didn't used to have the big tongues like Beckham. He used to have them up quite high. He didn't used to like a lot of flapping around. He used to have tight shorts because basically he's a big man. But I used to think, if I could dress like him, near enough feel like him, then I started taking on the persona of controlling a ball like him. Was it anything like him? Probably not. But I used to feel like I was him, like, and it used to relax me. And you know the way you used to carry yourself?
That's it. That's it.
And it used to, like, just soak it in. It just, like, absorb it. And this was me in the Premier League, by the way, Greg. This wasn't me at 17. This was me playing for Wigan. Players didn't really see what I was doing. But I honestly tell you, I used to think, I used to betray him because I used to go, he's the best in the world. Why not? Why can't I not try and be him?
Brilliant.
Even if I get to 10% right. of him, I've done a good job. But there was one moment where the shorts so tight, I couldn't lift my leg up and I missed the open goal. Paul John looked at me and thought...
Jimmy, trial and error. Stan must have made a mistake or two in his...
I couldn't lift my left leg up. It come over Gary Till. Scotsman's gone down a right wing, flying down a right wing as he does. I'm galloping on the left back, thinking I'm Zidane. The ball comes over, slick bounces off the slicky pitch. I pick my left foot up. I was hopeless with my left peg. And I've just picked it up. But my shorts were so tight, I couldn't put my groin up as high. And it's just bounced over my foot. And I've looked. No one knew in the moment, obviously. It looked like I just missed it. And I thought to myself, these shorts are too bloody tight. It's getting ridiculous.
I hope you had the bollocks to turn to Gary and go, Gary, here, mate, here, not there, here.
But it wasn't even that high grade. It wasn't even like outrageously high. It was just because of the shorts were too tight. Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? If only they knew now, Paul Jill, mate.
All right, foot on the ball, as we like to say, Jimmy, because that's an intro to something that you and I both love. But how superb was Zidane, 21st century? Portrait, because you can explain that in that, explain to those who haven't seen the film what it feels like and why two people in that film caught you.
Well, any football fan that loves football out there, just football in general, you don't have to be a Zidane fan, the way this, and a film fan, because of the detail and the sound, the way this is shot is by far, I think, the best football film I've ever seen. I just think it's so class, 21st century. It's his own film. Basically, they follow Zidane for a whole game through him coming out of a tunnel, I believe, to the end. I'm not sure how it ends, but I believe in coming out of a tunnel. And there's a few things that I noticed through this film. If you ain't watched it out there, just go and watch it. It's beautiful, bro, isn't it? It's absolutely mind-blowing.
You've said it because the number of cameras, and it's set up by a Scottish guy with a French-Algerian cameraman, and this Scottish guy has got artistic ideas and he loves football, but I don't think any football game has had as many artistic cameras placed on one guy ever. And it's Zidane. I'll set it up because I don't know if you remember the year. It's April 2005. It's at the Bernabeu and it's against that iconic yellow submarine
team, Villarreal.
And that's why it's a double for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it plays against Villarreal. It's a Zidane film, and you see Zidane moving around, and the way the cameras go onto him, I do not know. And I always remember Zidane. The amount Zidane sweated was unbelievable. It was like a permanent tap coming off of his chin. I used to love that. And this is before he's even started the game. He used to sweat unbelievable amounts. And he was the captain of that team. A few things I noticed, and I'm going to get onto the other player in a minute, was he wore the armband. How much he didn't talk, because he didn't need to. His actions would be enough. His movement on the ball, Gray, because where it goes so close in is absolutely phenomenal. Real Madrid don't have the best game in that, and nor does Zidane. This is where this other player comes in. it's so hard for me because it's 21st century, it's all about Zidane. But if you go back on YouTube and watch the actual game, Villarreal absolutely run the show with a player called Riquelme, one Romain Riquelme. Now, this boy has the game of his life during this film that's being made about Zidane. And if you watch the amount of Real Madrid players trying to hack Riquelme, he comes out with some ability in his... What isn't shown... It isn't shown in this DVD, but as a football fan, I went on to try and find this game to see how real it was. The game by Riquelme, that there, I was a bit of a Riquelme fan anyway, but that there took me on to being a full-blast Riquelme fan, and then I started portraying Riquelme. And this is where my Riquelme run starts. But I love that player. I think that player... Underachieved a bit harsh because he'd done some amazing things, but I think he could have gone on to be one of the best ever. Like, he's phenomenal. But that was that sort of DVD. It was amazing, really.
We've got a lot of listeners to this podcast who are football addicts like you and me, football lovers like you and me, and therefore some of them will know about Roman Riquelme. But not everybody will have seen him, Jim. So if I was to say to you that Zidane and Riquelme occupied the same planet because, in their way, they were genius footballers. But to my eye, Riquelme was really different to Zidane in that he's built a little bit like you. You'd be a little bit taller than Riquelme, but he's quite a slight man. Yeah. By no means is he fast, but he's like got something determinedly Argentinian about him. It's like, to everybody around, it's like, it's this pace, it's my ball. Yeah. You do your little bits running around and I will feed you and I'll feed you and I'll feed you. Stop now, turn, rewind, stop, pause for a second, drag them around, boom, there you go again. If there's a free kick, which in your case we're going to come on to in a little while. Whereas Zidane, like you said, I think a lot of people forget he was a beast.
Yeah.
As well as being beautiful and across short bits of ground, he was much quicker than Riquelme and he could move as if the ball wasn't there. But he could impose himself physically. And if you watch, it's like with Ronaldinho, if you challenged up near him, you'd bounce off him, which is not the case with Riquelme. So they had to approach space and marking and time of release of the ball completely differently, the two of them. But they equally fascinated you.
Your detail there, Gray, is exactly how I see it, right? Is it everything you said there is absolutely bang on, right? But there were glimpses, because I was built like Raquel, I started to understand this. I could control the ball like Zidane, but guess what? There's another player trying to get it off of me. That's a different matter. Zidane, as you say, is a beast, 6'2", six whatever he is, at legs like tree trunks. He could put a leg there and stop him. I couldn't do that. Riquelme can't do that. What I found, you watch Riquelme very closely. He uses his backside. He uses his whole body. Zidane used a limb. It's enough for Zidane to put a leg there and go, stop, and I'll stop that. I couldn't play like that. Riquelme, I could play like. He'd get his whole body there. Two different players, really. And they see it different. They had to play different. And I believe it come down to stature. As you say, no pace for Riquelme. But I'm telling you what he had, bro. His manipulation of the football in tight areas was better than Zidane's in tight areas. Like, and this is how I broke it down. Zidane gliding with a football. Wow. Like, I see him tear off. And I think he got... Zidane, you don't see him as a pacey sort of player, but Zidane had pace, what you say. When he got galloping, mate, he was a charger. No one's stopping him. Riquelme wasn't that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
People said to me, I always remember people back then were saying to me, you know, what's it like to play with Zidane? Because at the time, we know that Florentino handpicked Luis and, you know, Zizou, and we got the best. But they came into the dressing room. I mean, Zizou didn't speak the language at the time. I mean, you know him. He's quite reserved and quite humble and quite quiet. And he came into the dressing room, the greatest player in the world, and, you know, sat down and didn't say a word and just did his magic on the pitch. So it was easy to integrate, as I said. He had a really hard time, Zizou, initially, didn't he? A really hard time.
First few months, there was even...
It's not funny, booing, it reminds me a bit now of Pogba at Man United. You sort of bring him in, and it's like, God, where do we put him? Because I remember Zizou playing about four or five different places. We were sticking him in every position, trying to make him play well, and it wasn't happening. He was struggling at left side of midfield, or he was struggling for the number 10 role, because we had a very fluid team anyway, you see, and he was getting in the way at times, and it was like, wow, you know, when's he going to... He showed us in training he was elegant and he could play, but it was like, you know, when's he going to do it? And it was like that final happens, and it was like, you know, that's what he does. And then from then on, I mean, it was probably prior to that, but that final, it was like, this is why he's the greatest player ever. And then he really, really flourished then. But I always remember, even for the greatest players, and it reminds me of Paul Pogba now, he's played at centre midfield, or he can't play there. We need him in a three, or we can't play there. He was number 10 the other day behind Zlatan, or he can't play there. And he'll get it, he'll click soon enough, but it reminds me a bit of that.
Yep.
It reminds me a bit of that. Where are we going to put him? And then Zizou just arrived then, and we thought, all right. And again, he was an immense player.
I think I know the answer to this. Are you a little bit surprised that Zidane has taken over at Real Madrid, given the fact that he didn't used to flourish in public? He's an intelligent, articulate man, but you said timid. He's at least that. He certainly didn't like dealing with the media as a player. He's taken into it like a duck to water. I'm not particularly surprised he's a good leader, but being involved with managing a group of players, again, I would have not thought that was his number one priority in life. He's taken his time, he's done his badges, he's done a general manager's course, he's been an ambassador, he's been a youth team coach, he's been an assistant coach. Now he's at the top. And I have to say, I'm enjoying it like nothing. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah,
I admire how he's galvanised the team. Mm. But he wouldn't have stood out to you when you knew him as a natural manager coach, or am I wrong?
No, I think it takes all sorts, doesn't it, to be a good manager. You need a lot of luck. You need a lot of luck to win games. But I think that Zizou's gone in, and he's not abrasive, he's not a shouter, he doesn't want confrontation with his players. I think he just goes in and he helps this group of egos, and he just massages them all and keeps them all happy. And he knows, it was a bit like Vicente when he took over us. He knew that he didn't have to do a lot because he had great players in front of him. He just had to make, you know, keep them all happy. Mm-hmm. I think if you go in and you shout and you moan and you tell people off, a lot of them, you know, they will just say, I've had enough of him. We had it when Vicente went, and Florentino had a raft of managers who came through the door and left through the door very, very quickly. And unfortunately, a lot of the players, they are the powerful ones. And I think if you go in and you keep them happy, generally, if you know that your 11 is better than their 11, you'll win. And that's what happens. So I think Zizou's perfect, probably, for Real Madrid. I think Carlo Ancelotti was perfect for Real Madrid. I don't think Jose was. I think he's that character. There's a lot of, you know, banging heads together. I think you just need to go in and be nice and calm. And I think Zizou exudes that. And I hope Madrid keep that. You know, I hope Santi Solari is a future manager. I hope Guti's a future manager. I think this role of these super managers who come and go and blah and blah and blah, I just think it's bonkers. I think this succession of managers, the Real Madrid way, I think in the future that could be absolutely perfect for them. President sees it that way.
I am a lawyer, so I know how to defend a case in the court, but I don't know how to build a team. The current president, I've told him many times, he's an engineer. He knows quite well how to build bridges or tunnels or roads, but not to build teams, and mainly a team like Real Madrid. And that's why we've been this season, by the way, all the credit and the merit to the players, awesome what they've done. They've been suffering such a mess from the directors and the president that it's difficult to understand how they managed to be until the end, the last match, about to win the title and also to win the Champions League. Bear in mind that in June, not only 1 year ago, they were supporting Ancelotti. They said it was the right manager. He was sacked. No one beyond all understanding.
Nobody knows why the decision was made.
Even the president says,
correct.
In the press conference, they asked him, why are you sacking Ancelotti? And the answer was, I don't know. So he was sacked. There was a pilgrimage just looking for another coach. They went to sign Klopp. They went to sign Mourinho. They went to sign Love.
Jogi Love.
Everyone said, well, I don't know why, but they said, we prefer not to go there. So they went to sign Benitez, a coach that came with a short expiring date on the forehead. Everyone knew he wasn't the right coach, but is the one he found. So he came, and which is amazing, is in December, in a press conference, the president said, Benitez is the solution, is not the problem, he will stay, doesn't matter what journalist is saying, and Zidane is not going to be the substitute. Only 15 days after was completely the opposite. Imagine the feeling, I can imagine the feeling of the players at the time saying, what's happening here? This is not understandable. What are we doing here? So, and they turned to Zidane because Zidane was at the time the only one at hand, like they did with, I don't remember the name of the López Caro, a long time ago.
Yes.
It's in second division B. Yes. It was very risky, but what has been a luck for everyone, mainly Real Madrid, not the president, because I prefer to see the club, is that Zidane has been very clever, very smart in looking for the complicity of the players. He knew that he had the respect of them, they admired them because he's been top player. I'm sure he knew he wasn't really prepared for that really big challenge. Coming from the second division teams, like someone told me that I was not a bit rude with him saying that he was a second division team, but he was.
It's true.
He was. I said, imagine one director, well, one manager of a small office of a bank in a small town
in Palencia.
Palencia, suddenly he became the chairman of Banco Santander. And say, well, that's a bit strange.
It's a big jump.
It's a big jump. So, but he was very smart, knowing the attraction he has for the players. So he did that. There's been a big complicity between all of them, among all of them, the players and himself, and they've done something incredible. And they managed, as I said, up to the last match, able to win the competition.
In the league, when they score first in La Coruña and it's 0-0...
They're winning.
They're top of the division.
That's right.
It's been extraordinary.
It's been lucky, the idea, but you see that it's something improvised. That when you don't have someone, professionals, helping you in doing that job, normally the logical consequence is a failure.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Back Page. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.